I want to preach a message tonight, or just more of a Bible lesson to follow up to today's message from the book of Ecclesiastes. We found ourselves in the 8th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes this morning. I was able to start and to stop at the same place for the services, and so that's always helpful for our understanding when you want to do something like I want to do tonight. Solomon was teaching us how to get the most out of our lives. Really and truthfully, he's talking about a joy that will fill our lives, a joy that brings a settledness and a satisfaction to our lives. And Solomon is looking at his world as far as trying to find meaning to life from a human perspective, and all he sees is vexation and frustration. And really and truthfully, Solomon just pauses and says, I'm glad I know the truth. I'm glad I know God. Sometimes you'll hear me make a statement in reference to what's going on in our world, and I'll just simply say, I'm glad I'm saved. By the way, I hope you're glad you're saved and that you know the truth. And you have a life that's built upon the authority of the Word of God. And so Solomon said, if you're going to get the most out of life, you're going to have to understand the authority that God is and that God has. You're going to have to understand authority and your responsibility to it, as he shared with us that we have the responsibility to submit ourselves to authority, to obey authority, to side with authority, to understand the danger of going against authority. You don't ever want to align yourself against authority. Well, just join us and we're going to make a stand against the boss. Don't join them. Well, Pastor, they're going to force me to choose sides. I will remind you, you're on the Lord's side. Okay? You don't ever want to side against authority. Now, we're going to dig a little deeper into this truth tonight. Solomon says, you want to think about what you're doing. You better understand that authority has power. Authority has the final word. There's no check to the authority. They can do what they want to do. So you better think about that. Then he reminded us that we're not in charge, that there is somebody over us. And we all understand that. No man is in charge of himself. And so as Solomon is pointing to their responsibility to the king, there's wonderful application to our responsibility with the Lord. And so if I'm going to get the most out of life, I've got to understand that the Lord is the supreme authority of my life, which means I submit to him, I obey him, I side with him, I understand the danger if I go a different direction, I think about what I'm doing, and I realize that my life is not my own. He has my life. I was immediately asked after the service, and I found out through some other folks that while I was preaching, some thoughts were going through people's minds. And I wanted just to take a moment tonight and address those thoughts. Pastor, what do I do if the authority is wrong? Is there a time in my life when I've got to stand up and go against the authority of my life? What do I do if the authority of my life is wanting me to do something that's against God? Where do I stand in those positions? And so the early church was asked about this. The early church was confronted with this. Matter of the fact, Peter had to address this very early in the church's young life, and we find that addressing in Acts chapter number 5. In chapter 5, you read of this verse here in verse number 29, and a lot of people know this verse, and a lot of people want to raise this verse at certain times in certain areas in their life. And Peter makes a statement in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, and this is made to the authority of his day. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And I know you're familiar with that verse, and I'm sure that there's a time where that verse is applicable, as all verses are. I want to begin by telling you what that verse is not teaching. That verse there is not teaching civil disobedience. Nowhere in the Bible do you find civil disobedience as defined by, I don't like the direction of the authority, therefore I'm not going to follow that. That makes me uncomfortable, therefore I will not do that. You do not have a good reason for this, therefore I will not submit to that. Or that goes against my, even you could say the word conscience or whatever. A lot of people want to take this phrase that Peter said, and they want to use this verse in some kind of civil disobedience to either A, do what they want to do, or to make a point, or to stand against the authority in their life. That's not what this verse is teaching. This verse, however, is teaching not civil disobedience, but it's teaching supreme obedience to God. Now, where the context of this begins all the way in chapter number 4, and if you look for sake of time, look if you would in verse number 15. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. This is when the apostles were brought in for preaching the gospel, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no farther among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man. Now say it, that phrase, what's the end of that verse? In this name, in this name. Underline, in this name. Come over, if you would, please, to verse number 27. You ought to read the context of chapter 5. It's fascinating. But when you get to verse 27, again, the apostles are confronted about this, about their behavior. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach, say the phrase, in this name, underline, in this name. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Now, this is when Peter said, I'm sorry, but we've got to obey God rather than men. Now, somewhere beside those two verses, you need to write Luke 24, verse number 47. And then make your way, hold your hand in Acts, make your way to Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Find Luke chapter 24. And look, if you would, please, at verse number 47. These words, if you have a red letter Bible, are red. These words are recognizing the words of the Lord Jesus. We know this to be right before he ascends. So this is after the resurrection here. He's addressing the apostles and the disciples. And in Luke chapter 24, verse number 47, this is what the Bible says. Jesus says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. Now, what are those three words? In his name. Underline those words. In his name, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And so Peter had heard the Lord Jesus give a command that said, you're going into all the world and you're going to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins and remission of sin in my name. So when the early church was empowered and the church was birthed there and it began to spread forth and go out, it had the responsibility to preach in the name of Jesus. And by the way, there's power in the name of Jesus. And the devil hates the name of Jesus. And so when these leaders began to bring persecution to them, they were asking these men to do something contrary to what the Lord Jesus had commanded them to do. And Peter said, we can't do that. We are going to obey God rather than men. Now, I believe that this got out of control as the church began to move forward. Because once again, if you hold your hand here in the book of Acts and you make your way to 1 Peter chapter number 2, all the way back in the back of your Bible, you'll find 1 Peter. Peter had to address this issue again. And he does it in chapter 2 as he's writing to this church. Remember, he's writing them to protect them and encourage them. And you come to 1 Peter chapter 2, looking at verse number 11. Peter said, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." Boy, that reminds me of the message this morning. "Having your conversation or your life honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Now look at verse 13. "Submit yourselves to," what's those two words? "Every ordinance of" who? "Of man." That would include your HOA. Okay. That includes every ordinance of man. So Peter, writing to this church, is saying, now early in after the ascension of Christ and Pentecost, when persecution came in and there was this demand that they do opposite of what God wanted them to do, Peter said, wait a minute now. We got to obey God rather than man. Jesus told us to preach in his name, and we're going to preach in his name, and I'm sorry, but we cannot accommodate that. However, later, he says, every law that man makes, we need to submit ourselves to. Now, look at the motivation here, verse 13. "For the Lord's sake..." Okay, so I'm submitting to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. So both directions are touched here. There's a statement that there's a time to obey God rather than men, and there's a time that you obey every ordinance of men. Pastor, where does the middle ground meet for that in the life of the believer? And I believe that the middle ground meets when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to the Word of God. And it has to meet there. It cannot meet to your expectation. It cannot meet to your understanding. It cannot even meet, per se, to our desire. The only time I find in the Bible where you obey God as opposed to obeying man is when it goes contrary to the Word of God. If you understand that, say amen. Now, you cannot twist the Word of God. For example, "Pastor, my job won't let me preach at the job." Well, you didn't get hired to preach. You got hired to work. I got hired to preach. Okay. However, if the job comes and says you can't pray at lunch, then you do what Daniel did. And you pray because God told you to pray. Now, if the job comes and says, "We need you to do this, sign this," when it's not true, well, you can't sign anything that's not true, because God said, "Let all men be liars, but God be true." Couldn't do that. So we had a man that worked here. He came to church here. He got saved, and his job was to drive his boss to girly parties. He said, "Pastor, I just can't do that." I said, "You're right. You just can't do that." So there comes a time when you have to stand up and you'll have to say, "I'm sorry, But that goes against my Savior. And I'll tell you, once you make a statement that that goes against my Lord and I love my Lord, you've drawn a line in the sand. And there will be a reaction to that. But if they tell you to wear a blue shirt and you wear a white one, don't tell them Jesus is holy and you wore a white one. Okay? I want to say this too. I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And before I make this statement, or read this, or make this point, I want to make this statement. It ought to scare you out of your mind to have to make a decision to obey God rather than man. Sometimes you get the mega Christian. And the mega Christian, I call him the Rambo Christian. Do you remember Rambo? Okay. Rambo, we all got a mental picture of Rambo. This is the guy that just thinks that because he's a Christian, it trumps everything else, and he's not submitted to the smallest of rules or so on and so forth. And this is the guy that's kind of always flaunting his Christianity and making a big deal about it to the annoyance and almost to the hurt of the Lord Jesus. And just so blatantly arrogant against authority, trying to mask it with some kind of righteousness. But I told you this morning, all authority is God's authority. Now, I got to explain that. That means whatever authority is in your life, God has ordained and placed there. So the President of the United States is God's minister. He's God's man. He's been placed there by God. That's what the Bible says. You understand that? Okay. Your God-hating, sin-loving, reprobate boss is God's authority in your life. Your annoying HOA is, to Pastor, do you have problems with your HOA? Is God's authority in your life. So when I'm submitting to authority, I'm submitting to it for the Lord's sake. When I buck that authority, I'm bucking the authority that God has in my life. So, Pastor, what if the authority is wrong? Well, I think there's some wisdom there. I'll say this. That's not your problem. It's not your problem. Your responsibility is to do what the authority wants you to do. Pastor, if the authority is making me do something that's sinful or against God, then there's balance. But if the authority wants to go left and you want to go right, you better side with your authority. Amen? Okay. Ladies tell me, Pastor, I would follow my man if he was just right. That's not your problem. See, when you follow authority, then you go to God and you say, God, the authority is your problem. I'm going to do and follow this authority as unto you. Now, God, you protect me in my obedience here. Okay? Otherwise, we begin to inject ourselves into something that's not where we should be. And God always works within the realm of authority. Always works within the realm of authority. Please run away from anybody who's always bucking authority. You don't want to be part of that. So I say that to say this. It ought to scare you to death to think there will come a day in your life when you got to obey God rather than man, because there's consequences to that. So let's just name a few people. Daniel obeyed God rather than man. What happened to him? In the lion's den. Who else? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They obeyed God. What happened to them? fiery furnace. Who else?
Jeremiah.
Who else?
Abraham
obeyed God. He left and went out in a place he didn't know. He obeyed God with his wife and other things. Joseph obeyed God rather than man. Okay. Moses obeyed God rather than man. You have all these folks. And if you study their life, every one of them had consequences. Do you understand? If you stand up and tell your boss that I've got to obey God rather than man, you're probably going to get fired. I just want you to be aware of this so we're humbled a little bit. It's pretty... People ask me all the time, so where's the middle line or where's the balance? I'll tell you what the middle line and the balance is. If you're scared out of your mind, you probably found the balance. And then you better fall on your face and you better say, God, where do I stand with this authority? What do you want me to do? And I don't know about you, but the Spirit of God speaks to me in my spirit. If he speaks to you, would you just acknowledge that by saying amen? And then you got to do what God, how God leads you. But there needs to be a little bit of fear and trepidation here as we move forward. Look, if you would, at 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in, what's that word?
Authority.
That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. That verse right there is telling you, you should be praying for the authority in your life. Pastor, I can't pray for that guy. He's wicked. No, you should be praying for the authority. You should be praying that God would give them wisdom. You should be praying that God would touch and change their heart. You should be praying that God would use them in your life. And you should be praying that God would enable you to know a quiet and peaceable life when it comes into the realm of authority. And by the way, this is evidence, if you look at the end of verse number 2, a quiet and peaceable life in all, what are those two words? Godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. And so... yeah, there will be a time when we obey God rather than men, but there's consequences to that. And you better make sure that's what God would have you to do. You better make sure and understand that your responsibility is to pray for your authority, that you can live a quiet and peaceable life. Timothy is really picking up on what Solomon said there. Solomon said, if you want to get the best out of life, understand authority. Timothy, or Paul says, if you want to lead a quiet and peaceable life, pray for those that are in authority over you. Authority says a lot about us. Here's why authority says a lot about you. Help me with this verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When you read the rest of Philippians chapter 2, you find out that he had a spirit of submission. And one of the evidences that you're saved is that you don't have a problem with authority. Sometimes people say, Pastor, I have a problem with authority. And I say to them, you should be saved. They don't like that. They don't like that. And I'm not saying a Christian can't have a problem with authority. But when a Christian runs into authority, they're to submit to that authority. If you cannot submit to authority, then that person's filled with pride, not filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? Well, Pastor, that's easy for you to say because you don't have a boss. You know, I have 600 bosses. I do. I look at you as my boss. If Simeon says, Pastor, we're going to have a youth activity, will you come help? He's my boss. I'll do whatever Simeon wants me to do. Joey says, hey, we're going out here to cut trees. Joey's my boss. So all the other guys are like, can't you tell him to stop? He's my boss. I have learned that God never steps outside of authority. And if I want to be blessed, I need to understand authority in my life, and so do you. And please, for the love of God, teach your children to respect authority. I don't know what we're going to do. The Bible said about the nation of Israel, when there was no king in the land, every man did that which was right. How? In his own eyes. Shall we pray?